Hello and welcome to another episode of In the Margins. My name is Eli and here with me today is Mina. Mina is a visual artist and Twitch streamer who is currently majoring in BBA at Wilfrid Laurier and a Bachelor's of Math at the University of Waterloo double degree program. She spent most of her life drawing, going from art classes to sketching 12 hours a day to working with all different types of arts and materials. Her current project, learning digital art. How are ya?
I'm doing good.
You said you'd come up with a funny response. Where's your funny response?
I'm sorry, I blanked. I can't perform under pressure.
That's okay. I mean, to be fair, I said your name wrong, so
that's okay. We're all just here for a good time, not for a perfect time.
Yeah, that's like the motto of my show. I'm pretty sure in the background of most of the episodes, you can hear a dog called Barky, barking in the background. So,
can you blame him? He's just doing what he was made to do.
Yeah. Now my parents have a dog named Buffy. I named the dog Buffy. He lives in the neighborhood and he just yells.
I feel like there's a trend here of you and naming dogs that just yell.
Yeah, if I see a dog, I have to name it, especially if it's yelling.
Like, fair enough.
Why would you not name that dog?
It's just calling. It just needs to be named. If he speaks, he must be named.
Yeah, it's just like with people. If you see a people and it's talking. Yeah, if you see a people.
If you see a people talking, they probably have a name.
Yeah, exactly.
Wild.
Things that talk and make noises have names. You don't name trees very often. Trees don't make that many noises.
Well, we've named a dead moth stuck in our front door.
Oh.
If that counts.
What did you name it?
David.
David? What happened to David?
Well, he got stuck between like two panes of glass. And like, we saw him suffering the first day, but we're all scared of bugs here. So we were all just too scared to get him out. And he died.
Oh. And, bystander effect.
Yeah. Truly. The world would be a much better place if we were kinder to moths. I don't know, man.
You sounded like you were going somewhere with that, and then you just kinda your brain wasn't sure where to go.
I've often been told I speak with a lot of confidence, but it's just...
You do.
The brain doesn't keep up. She's very tired.
I can relate. Is a lot of schoolwork, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I kind of shot myself in the foot by deciding to do a week.
Now
it's like... That's all... I'm a little behind. But that's okay.
For anyone who, I don't think I have anyone who's not from Wilfrid Laurier listening to this, or anyone who wouldn't know what a week is, but just in case, a week is orientation week where we do a bunch of crazy, wacky events, like sitting on picnic tables and they give us snacks.
Yes, I did actually do that.
I saw that first they sent us an email where they were like, hey, we set up some picnic tables for you guys. I was like, wow, this is like being in kindergarten. And then they upgraded to come outside and sit on the picnic tables. We'll give you a snack. And I was like, kindergarten flashbacks.
Free food?
Yeah.
I'm a primordial being. If you offer me food for free, I will simply take it.
I guess, in essence, university students aren't that much different than kindergartners.
Do we ever really evolve beyond being in kindergarten?
We do linguistically.
Emotionally, though?
Not really.
I still cry when my sock falls out of my laundry basket.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. It's a reality of the cruel, cruel world we live in.
Speaking of the reality of the cruel, cruel world we live in, so we're talking, you're an artist.
Yes.
So art is all about the cruel, cruel world that we live in, sometimes.
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 Or, an escape.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on the person, yeah.
Yes.
What got you into art?
I watched a lot of anime as a kid, and I was like, you know, they drew that, and this is cool, so I'll do it too. And looking back now, wow, everyone's really got to start somewhere.
Do you mean like what do you mean, like your reasoning for it, or
no, just looking at the drawings, it's like, damn, I made this, huh? I spent 4 hours on this as a child.
Yeah, looking back at art you made as a kid and like you put so much effort in it, and then you look at it now and it's like,
I remember like just one drawing that I like put a lot of effort. I remember like my mom was concerned because I hadn't come down to eat. It's been like 5 hours, and I found it the other day, and I was like, I cannot believe this took me 5 hours of total, like, you know when you enter the zone when you do work?
Yes. Yeah.
That was me. And I looked at it, I'm like, it's not even colored. Or shit. What took me so long?
Well, if you want to think of it this way, it was how you developed your skills in the first place. Because now you can do a lot of that so much faster. So that's just a sign that you've grown a lot as an artist.
This is true. This always feels good to be like, because like recently, I don't draw as much now as I used to as a kid, obviously, because school.
Mm-hmm.
But I see improvement less and less. Obviously, I draw less, but also because like I feel like when I started drawing, it was really easy to like just get better without thinking about it. Just because the more you did it, the more you're going to get better. But now it's more like if I want tangible results, I have to really like think very critically about what I'm doing, what I'm drawing. And that's not always like fun. Like, it's fun to improve, but it's not always fun in the moment, you know, like practicing like
anything.
And it's like, ah, oh, damn, I want to go back to the good old days.
I can relate in terms of, actually, no, I can relate to art because I was super into art for a while. I'm actually drawing right now, but yeah, I'm drawing an eyeball, detached eyeball.
The classic.
Yeah, a detached eyeball. It's got like the little like nerve endings at the end and everything.
Oh, you mean like, oh, just like the actual eyeball.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like the eye, because I remember everyone used to just draw eyes everywhere.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely a thing. But I just kind of stopped because drawing well takes so much like time and effort and concentration, and I honestly can't focus. I can't sit and stare at this thing for upwards of 8 hours and just like changing minute details. It would drive me bonkers.
Oh, absolutely. I totally get where you're coming from. It's like, at a certain point, like with art, it's like, how much longer can I work on this and not go insane? Or like,
yeah,
can I just give up on it now? I've spent so much time on it. I always end up like, because I work on Procreate a lot now, and they have like the playback function.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is true. I heard this from other people, but like apparently for every minute of the playback, it's like an hour that you've worked on it.
Oh God.
And like sometimes I look back and I'm like, oh, an 8 minute playback. Why did I do that? Because I hate this. I hate this drawing. But such is the tragedy of visual art, I guess. I'm sure it's not uncommon.
You need to learn to love yourself, Mina.
I love myself sometimes. But not my art sometimes. Sometimes it's like, it feels good in the moment. I always like watching the process. Like, watching back your own process drawings is very satisfying. But, like, see, just looking at, like, a still image of, like, your art is so painful. I try not to look at my art once I'm done it because I'm like, I just can't. I just can't. I'll hate it.
See, I've noticed that's something funny within both, like, I guess in almost every creating community, is that people don't tend to like their art when they're done with it. And I think that's because, as artists, we can only ever see the flaws in our own work because we're so trained to think critically about it.
Yeah.
So then you don't even enjoy what you've made. I think that's part of the reason why I never got into, like, making art too much, because I want to have fun with it. But then if I don't have the skill level, sometimes I'll just get really frustrated.
Oh, for sure. It's like you want to balance like having fun, but it's like, am I having fun if I hate what I'm making?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
I feel that with writing, because with writing, now that I'm doing long form stories, it's like part of me really hates, like, I absolutely hate the editing process. I hate it with my entire body and soul. But looking back at it after and having a whole thing that I like, I feel proud of myself and I like what I made after I'm done with it. So
yeah, it's like once you, if you can get through that like really difficult part of the process and actually get something out of it, then it's like it feels good at the end. But I totally understand, like in the moment it's like, I hate this, why do I do this?
Yeah, it definitely makes art a lot more complicated, doesn't it?
Yep, from the joyous days of my youth.
Joyous days of youth. Life sure has changed. Yeah. So, with your art, I personally, from the few pieces that I've seen of your art, you tend to do more anime-esque and realism, right?
Yeah. I try to do more realism. Because, like, I started learning art in, like, class. I didn't, like, I wasn't, like, into art when I was in classes, but I was learning art in classes because my mom just wanted me to, like, I don't know, do that kind of stuff. So I was, like, it's kind of drilled into me that, like, if you're not good at realistic art, then you're going to have a really hard time doing a lot of other things. So, like, I always try to keep realism kind of in the back of my mind because, like, I want to be good at art. I've spent a lot of my life and money and time dedicated to it, so I'm like, I'm trying to be good at it, but at the same time it's like anime art's more fun. I can do more, I'm better at it, takes less time to get something cool out of it. Realism I find isn't like fun or cool for me, it's just like a means to an end. Like if I can get good at realism, then I can create cooler anime art, because it's just like a simplification process. So I try to balance it, but at the end of the day I'm like, I draw for fun. But then like when I draw for fun and I can't get the result that I was thinking about in my head, then I'm like, okay, back to the realism, back to the studies. And it's like there's no shortcuts, I guess.
No, there's really not. Yeah. I think part of the problem with me with art is also that I'm the type of, like, I learned writing entirely through writing over and over and over and over and over and over again until something stuck.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that with art and make it look good. So I think that's where, I think a lot of people struggle with that too.
Mm-hmm. Where it's like, because it's so like obvious when you're good and you're bad, right? At least to yourself. It's like so obvious that you've done something that you feel is worth your time or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
comparing yourself to others, like you might actually be a really incredible artist, but because you're comparing yourself to someone else, you might not see that.
Yeah, for sure. And especially like, it's definitely like other people, because I look up obviously to a lot of artists and I'm like, wow, how did you get there? And then I follow them and like I get their process videos, like holy shit, I do not work nearly as hard as you, like in a million lifetimes I could not work as hard as like some of the artists I follow. And it's like, okay, well it makes sense that your art looks so good, but at the same time it's like I just want to get there. I wish I could get there, because I also follow a lot of artists on Instagram who are like 13
and oh yeah,
a lot better than me, and it's like I'm 20 and I think I have about 10% of your skill level.
That's not necessarily a bad thing though, because they may have spent more time with art than you did, depending, or they might have spent more time focusing on certain aspects while you were focusing on building up other aspects of yourself.
Yeah, that does, like, it makes sense. But you know, when you see, like, at least for me, like when I just see just the finished product,
it's disheartening.
It's disheartening. It's also just like, I wish I worked harder when I had the time. Because now I don't. Now I'm like, school. I'm paying for this. I'm not paying to do art. I'm paying for school. So I have to do school.
Very sad.
Very sad times.
I was going to say, if you have extra time, but then I remembered you're doing a BBA and a math degree. I love that. Love that you said you didn't know what you were doing with yourself, so you chose that. And I don't think if I didn't know what I was doing with myself, I don't think I would have gone for that option.
Really?
That seems like so much work.
It was like a natural like conclusion for me, because I was like, well, for me at least, I don't try to plan out my life, because I you know, the future scares me, but I try to like leave my options open if I don't know what I want, so that if I do figure out what I want, hopefully I have an easier path to it. So I was like, well, business isn't everything, and my mom's always wanted me to do math or something at University of Waterloo, because, you know, Asian parents. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I might as well do 2 degrees if I'm spending basically the same amount of time and money. And if I do 2 degrees, then like maybe if I'm suddenly really into something math related, that path is left open. Because I knew I couldn't pursue like anything in the arts, just because like I knew like the type of effort you have to put in to get to like a career in mm-hmm. the arts is,
it's very hard,
very very hard, like far harder than I think any other. Because like any other, at least for me, like we call, in my family call them like the, like I don't know, engineering, math, being a doctor or whatever, like all of those things that I was told to become as a kid. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, you have to work hard in school, but then you come out of school and you have a career.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you get a very easy return on investment. Whereas like, I love art, but would I get a return
on investment? There's no guarantee.
Yeah. And then also it's the fear of like, if I start doing it as a job, do I begin to hate it? Because now I have to do it rather than like it be my escape. It's now, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. I thoughts, are, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I know that's a lot of, those are the thoughts a lot of people go through when they're deciding, should I do art or not? Because it really is, it's not a stable industry, no matter which art you're going into, really.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, hard.
By the nature of like having, I guess, success in like an artistically oriented industry is like you have to be endlessly competing with a million other people who have the same dream and the same drive as you. And it's like,
yeah, and you have to be endlessly creating. It's, you can't like,
when you can't pause,
like, yeah, you especially can't turn now off.
With like the way the media cycle is now, it's like,
yeah,
what are you gonna do? Stop, get left behind, and then what? Right?
Yeah, like if you, for example, want week, you're not probably gonna get weekends off. You won't get time off. You can't really go on vacation unless you're somehow making your work into your vacation. Like, mm-hmm. it's a really hard job.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like a lot of art careers are freelance, and freelance means contract work, and contract work means lack of stability. And, you know, like, God, I am weak. I am emotionally, mentally, I just want stability.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would, if I was stronger, I would do art.
Yeah.
But I'm a baby.
I can kind of relate. My plan was, all right, I'm going to do, basically, I was like, all right, I'm going to find what's the easiest thing I can get to that will give me a pension, and like, I can travel and I can go do things, and I can like, maybe buy a house, maybe.
Maybe, not who anymore. Knows now.
Yeah. And then it still allows me some flexibility. So I was like, okay, teaching lets me travel. Teaching lets me, I can go anywhere if I want to teach. And mm-hmm. then, I can still do stuff on the side if I can try and get up enough free time.
Yeah. And it's like, it feels like a good career, you know, that you can like,
it's very stable.
It's stable, and you get some of what you want. Maybe not all, but you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is a really common thing with like, people our age. It's like, it's the running in of like your dreams and reality and where you have to compromise in between them.
Yeah.
Which is, wow, the world is not as fun and you can't be anything. You can be anything within a boundary, I guess. At least that's the way I see it.
I think it's possible if it really depends on what you're willing to give up for your dream. Because, like, for example, if you're fine with having instability, if you're fine with, like, I bet basically running yourself to the ground for the first maybe 10 or so years, then you can probably make it in the sense of you can get regular work, depending on what you're doing. But if you aren't willing to go into, like, live in crappy places or end up in some maybe sketchy situations, you're probably not going to find it as easy as other people to start a career in it. So, yeah, it's definitely, I wish there was more, I don't want to say that I want it to be more, like, structured careers, but I wish there was some sort of way that you could make making a living off of the arts easier. All right, we're back. We had some technical issues like 3 times in a row, but we're back.
That's what's important.
That's what's important. So, moving away from art a little bit, actually, no, let's talk one more little thing about art. Actually, we'll probably come back to it.
You lead me. You did a U-turn there.
I did. I'm doing so many. I just keep turning back and forth. I don't know what I want to do. What are your current projects and do you want to talk about them in terms of art and writing?
I think with art and writing, I don't have any major projects. For the most part right now, I'm just kind of drawing what I want when I can. And then I have had this idea floating in my head for a couple of years now for a story.
Oh.
But I've never, like, I wanted to create, like, a really classic fantasy 5-man band.
Yeah. Like,
type of story. And I wanted to, like, draw it because, like, if I made a story and I drew it as, like, a comic or, like, a webcomic type of thing, then I know I'd improve.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just have to draw so much. Yeah. And then...
webcomics like, are insane.
I read a lot of webcomics and I'm like, I do not know how you guys put this out, right? It's like, how do you have enough time in your life
to
put out this much art?
Energy and dedication, like, holy crap.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine the hours they work. Especially because some of the art is so pretty, like...
Yeah, like, do you read on Webtoons, or...?
I do Webtoons, and there's also, like, a few other websites I use.
Ooh, which ones on Webtoons do you read?
Oh, so many.
So many.
Okay, my guilty pleasure is, like, those stories where they're, like, in, like, kind of, like, fantasy medieval period, so their dresses are super pretty.
Yeah. Do you like Air's Game?
I haven't read it.
No?
It's like
in a medieval period, and it's fantastic.
Oh, now I have to add that to the list.
Yeah.
I always find, I'm always, like, drawn to them because of their art, usually. So, right, like, last night, I started reading this one. It's called Your Throne.
Ooh.
And I thought it was going to be, like, really typical. I started reading because I really liked the way they did the art. And, oh my god, I stayed up all night reading it.
I think I've heard of that one. Is that the one with the girl who, like, her, like, character, her romantic interest character comes out of the book?
No, that's I don't know which one that is. There's a lot.
There's
like
so
that
many
though,
like
this
that
one, this one I thought it was gonna be like a classic, like the villainess is like revived to become a better
I
person
love
or whatever.
That trope I love that
I love it's such a good trope.
Or even,
and, like, some of them are so bad but I still read them.
Yeah. I love isekai, which for anyone listening is basically people falling into another world. It's such a cliche, especially in fan fiction, but I love it so much. I love it so much. It's I don't care how tropey it is. Yes.
I actually way prefer it in like fan fiction versus like in anime and stuff, because I'm like, I feel like fan fiction does more with it.
Yeah, yeah. There's like 10,000 manga where they're like, it's guy who is has a crappy, like, he's a neat in real life, and then he dies in some way, some stupid way, either from overwork or like, I don't know, falling down the stairs, comes into this other world. He's young and like relatively handsome, and then he gets a harem.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I'm sick of that trope, but like, now I'm reading all these isekais with like these female leads, and they're like, and this one, I feel like you'll like this one, because it's very like, I thought it was gonna be like romance, but it's actually like a revenge story, where it turns out like the prince is actually the big bad, and the two girls who like hate each other end up realizing, oh shit, like
please send that to me.
I will send you a screenshot.
Please do. I wish more Western or like creators would use like isekai or those kinds of tropes, because it's really, it seems like it's really a more of an Eastern thing to use that kind of trope, or like this, I don't know what it's called, but like, you know how Western stuff, there always used to be plot, 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 whereas sometimes there's,
yeah,
I don't know the name of this genre, but they literally just stick around doing nothing.
It's a slice of life,
I guess. I thought there was something more specific for it, but definitely slice of life. Love that.
Yeah, I feel like slice of life is very common in like, especially in anime, I guess, because I guess anime is very like, for a lot, I guess a lot of its popularity comes from like the escapism.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's very common, but I feel like I've never seen it in, I guess like Friends, or like, if I'm thinking Western, popular Western media, like Friends or like Big Bang Theory would be kind of that, right?
Come to think of it, you're right. I don't think I've ever, like, not like how you would see it in manga or anime. I would never, or even some like KJ or like dramas, like,
Yeah. I mean, I guess with dramas, it's like, they have to be, because they're dramas. I love those
dramas. They're so silly.
I love when they're cliche.
They're so fun. So you mentioned that you try to draw when you can. So how do art and writing look for you as a hobby? Like, how do you work around being busy all the time?
I mean, with a lot of the times I think like, sorry, I'm gonna collect my thoughts.
Yeah, take your time.
I feel like, okay, what it is like, my life, at least, and I think this is it for a lot of people, is like a balance between like work, so that's like school, and then hobbies, and then like personal, physical, and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite sad, but it's ended up being like work comes first. Actually, no. It's ended up being like personal, physical, mental health first, and then it's like school, and then it's art. So art often gets pushed to the back.
Yeah.
And like most other things I enjoy, but which is ironic because like they're good for my mental health.
Yeah.
But it kind of ends up being that way where it's just like, oh, maybe it's better if I sleep now and then I can work harder on school later. Which is like, so, but then it's like finding with me right now, at least, I like started sketching less and more just putting in like half an hour on like a drawing I've been working on like every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm trying to finish pieces more rather than just like sketch ideas, because I want to develop like more of coloring and like all of rendering skills basically.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with that, I guess. And then it's like, if I have to put art and stuff to the back end, I just do, because I'm like, you know, nothing's depending on it,
mm-hmm.
which is also nice, which is probably why I like it so much, to be honest. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I'm like every other 20-something year old in school.
Yeah, where it's like, just, it's definitely good and it's fun to do, But unfortunately, sometimes you do kind of have to put it on the back burner.
Yeah, and like that's just, you know, that's life. That's reality.
That's life. I think one thing is to remember for, I guess, people listening, is that if you're trying to learn how to take better care of yourself, it is important to take breaks from your work and do art, do fun things, because yes, you need to get that project done, and if there's a deadline tomorrow night, yeah, okay, you should be doing that thing. But yeah, if you don't have anything that's immediately due, it's okay to like take an hour or two and go play some video games or draw or write or go run or something. I don't know, whatever it is you kids do these days. It'll help whatever, you in the long run.
Whatever kids do these days, run, I guess.
Yeah. What is it that you kids are you into running?
What kids, why?
Home. Yeah,
inside.
I wrote something yesterday that was something like, running is only for when you're being chased.
Yes, exactly. Running is for emergencies. At all other times, you can walk. You don't need to run. We're not hunters anymore. You don't need to run to get food. What are you running for?
We actually didn't ever really run. That was more of if there's an emergency thing. We were more power walkers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were power walkers.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. My mom, after dinner walks with my mom, are going to pay off in case of an apocalypse and return to the Stone Age.
Yep. Yep. So.
Although I'm sure that's all gone now.
So you said in your introduction that you gave me, you're moving to digital art. So what's the hardest part about digital art for you? And do you have any tips for people trying to learn?
I mean, I think the thing with digital art is, like, if you are unfamiliar with it, you don't know how the medium's going to behave. So, like, if I did a lot of acrylic and sketching, like, in pencils and markers before I, like, moved to digital. So, especially with acrylic and oils, like, if I wanted to create a certain texture, I could, like, pick out a brush, apply a certain pressure, move my hand in a certain way, and know what I'm about to get. Whereas with digital art, you don't have as much like direct translation from your brain to like the paper, I guess, the screen. And you don't have the same tactile feedback in a sense, because it's just a flat screen. I don't even have like the paper cover because it eats away at the Apple Pencil nibs too fast, and those are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just use like the glass cover, which is even worse for the Switch. I think like a tip basically is to like, I guess one, don't stop, but two, like don't be afraid to, especially with digital art, don't be afraid to mess around with the program itself. Mess around with the settings, search up tutorials on like on brushes, how to get and find a brush that works for you. Cause like I didn't do a lot of digital art when I first got my iPad like I thought I was going to do, because I just hated the way the brushes, they didn't feel right the way the lines were coming down or the way the colors were coming down. But then I started downloading brush sets and like searching up tutorials and messing with the brush settings myself, which like takes a bit of time to learn because there's a lot. But if you can get it down and find brushes you're okay with, like, or that you feel feel natural to you, then it's very easy to start getting into it. Because that, like, that part of the process is natural when you're with like a physical medium, because it's in front of you, it's in your hands, you can feel the textures and everything. But with digital art, it's a bit more experimentation, I guess, and really being willing to mess around on the techie side of things. But yeah, you'll get, I mean, as long as you get used to it. And now when I draw in real life, I like automatically control Z or double tap to try to undo it. It's like, oh, shoot, I can't. So there's definitely a lot of advantages to digital, and it's cheaper in the long run by a huge margin.
Oh, for sure. It'll save you a lot of, it might be expensive at first, but it'll save you a lot in paper and supplies.
Yeah. Art supplies are so expensive.
It's very sad.
Yeah. We're poor, man. Artists are poor.
They are.
Why has it got to be so expensive?
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
Would you say that any of your cultural background has influenced your art?
Well, I mean, like, for sure. The fact that I do anime art is because I grew up watching anime. And, I mean, like, other kids watch cartoons as kids, but I grew up for, like, 6 years in China. So it was anime, like, full on ever since I was a kid. Yeah. And it also, like, really developed into the aesthetics of, like, what I prefer in a piece, I suppose. So styles of dress, hair, the way I want, like, a person's face to look. All of that is definitely from just the amount of the type of media, because the type of media I was exposed to as a kid have followed me into adulthood. Anime does that to you because they have
it
everything.
Sure does.
So I feel like if I wasn't Chinese and if I like, because I definitely only watch anime because my brother did. My brother definitely only did it because his friends did at school, which is something that probably wouldn't have happened in Canada if we grew up here from the beginning. So, or I could have still discovered anime and started drawing. Obviously, a lot of people do, but I guess the reason I started from such a young age, and then also my mom putting me into art class. My mom wanted me to be very ladylike as a child, so she put me into a lot of art and
violin. How did that work out for her?
Well, I quit all the music ones because I realized I hated practicing music. I never found any joy in it. So, you know, those didn't work. But, you know, at least the art stuck. And I always enjoyed it, even with the realism as a kid. I enjoyed it to a certain extent, I suppose. And I am thankful for it because, you know, she provided that foundation for me to be able to get better at art and to know I have to work at it to improve. And I think that also is, like, culturally, like, her wanting me to be graceful and putting me in all of those, like, dance and art and piano and violin and all those lessons was, like, it's part of, I guess, Eastern Asian parenting, whereas they just want you to do all this. So, like, that definitely built into it.
That's so, yeah, I mean, there's lessons.
Yes, I was put into, I quit a lot of lessons as I grew older.
You're, like, just biding your time. You're like, God, I can't wait till I'm done with this stupid violin.
Yeah, literally. Well, I mean, I think she wanted me to quit the violin because children practicing violin.
Yeah. I did violin when I was little. Yeah, I can attest to that. My poor parents.
Yeah, I can't believe she's not deaf, to be honest. My poor mom. It's crazy to me.
So your family does encourage you to do art?
They would never encourage me to do it
as a career,
as anything beyond a hobby. My mom has always told me, like, my whole life growing up, she's like, if you like something, don't make it your job. Like, that's the way I was raised. She's like, if you like something, keep it as a hobby and you can continue liking it, because once it becomes your job, you start disliking it. I was like, okay, it makes sense, I guess. Like, if my food and my housing depended on if I made good art or not, I would definitely lose the, like, playful joy and love of it. So I understand where she's coming from. So I definitely was not raised in a household where it was like, follow your dreams, do whatever you want. It's like a build a stable foundation, then you can do whatever you want in your free time.
You know what? It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, and I think that's also a very common sentiment amongst these East Asian parents. It's like, hey, secure your livelihood first. And then, you know, because obviously my mom grew up during, like, communist China, which is lack of food and a lot of other things. So, you know, she understands what it's like to have not and to have nothing. So from her perspective, it's like, you can't do anything if you are poor and starving. And she's not wrong, I guess.
Your mom was like, hey, don't be poor.
Yeah, there's no There is no dream of the starving artist in my family. That does not exist.
Yeah. But you know,
fair enough, you know, and I still do art and I'm in school, so I guess it works out, right?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a hard choice for any parent to, when their kid's going, like, I'm going to go be an actor. And it's like, oh God, you're going to have no financial stability. And which is hard because you want to support your kid, right? But then at the same time, it's like, oh man, how are you going to eat?
Yep. How are you going to survive? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as a parent, that's your first, you know, obviously your child's happiness matters a lot. But at the end of the day, would you rather your child be happy or like not starving? Right.
Yeah. And yeah. Also you have to take into account your child may do it anyway, regardless of what you think. So.
Exactly. Really? So, yep.
Yeah.
It is at the end of the day, as a parent, like, what are you going to do, right?
Yep, exactly. So you mentioned that you grew up in China and moved to Canada later on. Are there ever cultural differences that, like, frustrated you when you were little?
Oh my goodness. So many. I mean, okay, when we first moved to Canada, I went to a school that was in kind of like a bad part of town. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like unintentionally very racist. The good thing was I was so ignorant of the world as a child. I just thought, I didn't think it was racist. I just thought this was how people interacted normally with other human beings. So like people, kids would yell at me like, yo, what is Ching Chong Ming? And I'd be like, I don't know. And I'd be so happy that someone talked to me because I was really shy. or like they call me Chink. And I was like, nickname? Cool. Oh, no. It wasn't that bad because like I was actually bullied as a child in China because Chinese schools can be very, I don't know. The atmosphere in Chinese schools is very different. So going from being like actually bullied to being like bullied without knowing it was big change. So I don't know. It wasn't as bad as I guess it sounds. I guess it sounds now that I think about it. It sounds bad now.
Sounds bad.
But back in the day when you don't know anything, it was like, you know.
Back in chilling. My day.
Yeah. But the one thing was like, I was shocked you weren't allowed to leave your kids alone at home. Because I was like,
that's definitely a huge cultural difference.
Right? Because, like, I mean, just, like, when I was a kid, I could walk to – I was, like, what, six? I could walk to school by myself or just with my brother. And, like, in a very busy city where, you know, at the time I was growing up, China was still developing quite rapidly. So there was a lot of crime and a lot of children kidnappings. And I was still, you know, allowed to be at home alone. And then coming here and it's, like – once my brother and I were home alone and our neighbors called the cops for us. They thought our mom was being neglectful. Yeah, they called the cops. But my mom, she had to go to work. Like, and we couldn't afford a babysitter, you know, at the time.
Also, that's just a little, okay. Even though that's not
snitchy.
Well, that's snitchy. And then also, it's just like the woman who got her, not the police called on her because her kids went to the park without her. And it's like,
well, we were at home. My mom, like, knew. She was like, don't go outside. But my brother and I wanted to blow bubbles. So we went on the front porch. We literally went on the front porch to blow bubbles. And I'm like,
that was just home. A dick move by your neighbor.
I mean, I understand, obviously, where they came from. Because, like, it's a bad neighborhood. So if see kids alone, it's better to be safe than sorry. But at the same time, I feel like there was a lot of undue pressure on my mom just because she was, like, an immigrant.
Yeah.
And it was like, there was a lot of distrust in her that, you know, I think a native Canadian, like, not a Native American Canadian, but like a Canadian who was born here and is white would simply not have had to deal with. But, you know, you grow up and it's like, oh, well.
What can you do?
You grew up. What can you do, man?
Going back to what you said about the bullying, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was also bullied I didn't realize it until later. So maybe just Canadians are really bad at bullying people.
Honestly, compared to compared to how it is in China, yeah, like it's very mild here. The bullying, at least from what I know, like from what I've experienced in my life, the bullying here is quite mild.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't even know if the kids knew they were being racist. I think they just, you know, they just thought that was just how you talk to Chinese kids. And that wasn't like bad. And you know. Kids are stupid.
Kids can be pretty dumb. I think also a lot of bullying. I'm not going to downplay bullying, but because I know it had a really bad impact on me and really screwed me up, and I'm sure a lot of other people. But I feel like a lot of bullying is not always intentional.
Yeah.
When you're a child.
For sure. Well, that's the thing, right? Especially in Canada, I find a lot of the bullying doesn't feel super intentional, especially when you're quite young. But like when I was in China, like, oh, that shit was directed and it was planned. Like they had the teachers on their side. Like they were not going to get in trouble and they knew it.
Was it like how it is in like the like webtoons where there's like thumbtacks in your shoes and shit?
Oh, no, it never got that far, but it was very much like if I give an example, it's like so at my school in China, we had to like march to lunch at the right time with our classes. Yeah, and then you know we go and eat lunch. And once what happened was I was very stupid as a kid. I was very slow. And so my these three girls who I should have suspected because they had been mean to me always, but they were like, oh, they told us to go. They told you and your two friends to go down early. And so I did. And then I was punished by the teachers for leaving without permission. And I had to march around the school campus like five times. It was a big school campus for a small child. And it's like that's that type of thing. Or it's like we had to sit down quickly once we got to lunch. It's like a discipline thing. Mm-hmm. But they would hold my chair in with their feet so I couldn't sit down. And I get in trouble. It was like that kind of thing where it was like,
big move.
Yeah. Or they knew I was Canadian. I didn't know how they knew, but they would be like, oh, like I was always late to school because I was very sleepy mm-hmm. as a child. And they were all always like, oh, it must be like, you know, lazy Canadian habits. like, what were you doing? Like flying over or something? I was like,
that doesn't even make sense. What?
I know. I'm like, okay. But yeah, it's like that kind of thing where it's like, it's very calculated.
Yeah.
But you know, oh well, I'm hotter than them now.
There you go. That's how you deal with it.
That's what I always think. It's like, I'm definitely hotter than them now. So like I care.
There you go. Bullying tips from Mina is to be hotter than your bullies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So before we get to the closing questions, because I know you have somewhere to be. I wanted to talk a little bit about your streaming career on Twitch.
Oh, wow. Career. Career is a
strong word, I'm sure. But
strong word, yes.
No, that's your career now. Congrats. Your mom's going to be so thrilled. What made you want to stream on Twitch?
I don't know. I've always played games. And then I was like, oh, here's this thing. And, you know, I thought it would be fun to have people hang out. And it was like, okay, I'll just do it. It's not that much initial investment. It's something you can just start doing. And he's like, okay, I'll just do it.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of investment into it. There's you don't use a lot of... I don't know, editing software or...
No. Because, I think about it, in terms of, compared to YouTube, it's, you don't have to edit anything. You just have to, all the software is free to start streaming. And, all you really need is a decent enough mic that makes you bearable to listen to. And then, I bought, a nice webcam because I was like, fuck it, you know? I wouldn't need a nice webcam anyways. We're on Zoom. And then I was like, okay. Guess I'll stream. And then all my five friends were like, just start streaming. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a following and that would be fun, wouldn't it? It's like, yeah, okay. Makes sense. Who am I to say no?
Have you gotten any followers?
I have a few. I made a good number of friends, which I'm happy about because that's what I originally wanted to do it for.
Yay.
I was like, my goal, because I don't expect a lot to come out of it, but I was like, I'd like to be able to make more friends who like to play games the way I do, because my friends from real life who I play games with are very competitive, whereas I simply am not.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Maybe I'll find people. Yeah, and I did. So you know, I got that out of it, and that's fun. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying, in terms of if I think streaming is if you really want to get something out of it, there's a way to do it, and there's a certain social media strategy that you can kind of follow to gain exposure. Because people like, if you can just get the right people to see you, then, you know, you'll get followers. And I've tried it a little bit, but then at the same time, it's like, it's a lot of work. So it's however much work you want to put into it, and you're going to get however much you put into it out of it. So, you know, it's something I think about, like, maybe if I just, like, if I can get the rest of my life in check, then I can start taking streaming more seriously again. And yeah, it's that kind of thing where it's like, I want to take it seriously. I want to, like, try to make something out of it, make it, like, a hobby, because I just play so much in games anyways. But at the same time, I was like, I'll put it on the back burner if I have to, like everything else in my life, to keep myself healthy or for school. Because, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm going to be quite upset if I fail out of school compared to if I stop streaming, for sure.
Have you, or do you like to interact with people when you stream, or do you just,
oh,
like,
for getting... sure. That's, like, the fun part, right?
Yeah. If I just
want, yeah. Like, there's, like, times if I don't want to interact with people in a game, I just won't stream. I would just play my games and, you know, chill out. But for me, at least, I think it's really fun when people interact with you in stream. Because it's, like, that thing, you know, when you're, like, a kid and you're, like, sitting around with your brother and, you're, like, you're watching him play and you guys can say things to each other. It's, like, that feeling.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if I'm bad at, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm bad at something, people can help you.
Exactly. And it's, like, that's the entire, I don't understand streamers who don't really interact with their audience that much. Because, mm-hmm. like, that's, like, the fun part.
Yeah, like, to me, at least, that's definitely a fun part. Like, I mean, I know, like, once you get a few thousand viewers,
yeah,
it's like, you're not going to interact with everyone, you know? You're only one person. But, like, for me, at least, I get, like, you know, 4 or 5 people popping by, saying hi. Sometimes people drop in. You say, oh, I just want to see how you're doing. And it's like, oh, makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's nice to know that you make an impact on people's lives, no matter how small.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I made your day a little bit better, or, you know, I help you discover a new game. Mm-hmm. Sweet, you know?
Sweet.
All right. I'm having fun while I'm doing it, so, yeah.
I'm glad. Yeah, I've caught a couple of your streams for a couple of minutes. I sneaky join.
You sneaky join?
Do you want to say your handle so that people know where to find you?
Oh, yeah, sure, I guess. I'm on Twitch at, well... It's Minnow, but it's MINNNOW. So there's 4 N's. I'm trying to find a better name that's not as, like, damaging to my brain to try to, like, explain. Because, like, everyone's like, how many N's? There's 4 N's. But it's Minnow like the fish with 4 N's.
I think that's cute, and, yeah. though.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, I understand it. It's like, how, when you look at it, especially with the M, and then the, it's like, excuse me, the brain.
The brain says no.
The brain's like, I'm not made to look at that.
So if you want to find Mina, go to Minnow on Twitch. Minnow with 4 N's. So MINNNOW.
Yes, that is correct. But you see what I mean? It's like the brain is suffering.
No.
Yes. Minnow.
Minnow.
Some people say it
right
that
now.
Min right now sitting in her chair at her computer that she streams from.
That'd be kind of a funny Twitch username. We've passed the probably 50-minute mark. So I have 2 more questions for you. Are you ready?
I'll try to rapid fire them.
Oh, yo, you don't have to, but
oh, okay. You'll edit it down.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. My poor, actually, nobody edits my podcast anymore. I edit my podcast. So actually, I could make it as long as I want. It's just my listeners have to suffer.
Nah, I'm sure they enjoy it. Would you ever suffer if you saw, like, you know, a creator you like putting out a slightly longer thing? You're like, oh.
Yeah, probably not. Is there anything I haven't asked you yet that you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so. Nothing that comes off the top of my head. My brain's pretty empty.
Well, we could talk about your art projects, cultural background, time in art school, end goal as an artist, animation, Twitch. Anything you want to talk about from there? If you don't have anything, that's fine.
No, I don't think so.
Wow, I covered.
I'm not one to talk about things if nobody asks. I'm
sorry. If not prompted.
If not prompted, I'm like, you don't need to know anything about me. I don't need to offer anything.
Mina's secretly like hiding it, like you're just gathering information.
Yeah, I'm just slowly. So I take more than I give.
I used to do that, and then my therapist told me to stop.
Oh God.
Yeah, watch out.
Oh no, the therapists are coming for me.
The therapists are coming for you.
No.
Better watch out. Stay away. It's like you better watch out, you better not shout, you better not cry, I'm telling you why. Counselors therapist are coming to get you.
It's like, oh God, wait, no, I didn't sign up for this, or did I?
Or did you?
Did I sign up and regret it?
I mean, I guess technically you paid for it with your Laurier tuition, so.
Yes, that's true, that is true. Yeah. But it's already money spent. It's basically free.
Yeah, it's basically free.
As a business student, that's sunk cost, you might as well use it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I've decided I'm going to use every single thing at Laurier. And they can't stop me.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to say to creators out there? So maybe someone considering doing art, or who is doing art, or who wants to start streaming, or I don't know, anything creative?
I think if you are scared of starting art, don't. Everyone's going to be bad when they start, and that's the reality of the world. Like, you're not going to be good right from the get-go, and exactly how much work you put into it is exactly how much work you're going to get out of it. Especially with art and streaming, you know, the more time and effort and, like, I guess tacticalness you go about with it, so maybe the less, not enjoyment, but the less carefree you're about it, the quicker you're going to improve, if that's important to you. But if you're just doing it for fun, just do it for fun. Like, art's for fun. It's therapeutic. Follow some tutorials, you know? Copy someone's art if you want. Like, just, like, don't claim it's your own.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to, just do it, you know? Just put that pencil to paper. You don't need anything to start. And, you know, I feel like with art, obviously you just need a paper and pencil. But also with streaming, like, you don't need that much to start, you know?
Literally just need a computer. Fun.
Yeah, and like if you don't get any viewers, that's fine. And if it's not fun anymore, just stop. That's my philosophy on a lot of things. Yeah, you know, just like listen to what you want to do and just try to enjoy your life. And if you could do that through art or streaming, go for it. If you can't, fuck it. Find something else.
So Mina's life morals is have a stable base, have fun.
Yeah. Look, you only get to live once. So do the things you need to do to survive and enjoy it. That's it.
I like that philosophy. That's similar to my own, because I was like, my friends were like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. I was like, why? Just like, yes, you need to have food to survive and you need to have money, but if you're you might be able to lower like your standard of living and have more fun.
Yeah, like, is your standard of living really high if you are sad?
Exactly.
And it's like, it's just finding that whole life is just finding that balance for yourself. But like, don't get to the end of your life and be like, shit, I spent all that time trying to make money and now I can't even spend it because I am dying. Like, or even, you know.
Yeah, or even just like, choosing to, I guess, run yourself into the ground for sake of having extra money. If you can, there are things you can do. If you're not, for example, if you don't want to get married or if you don't want to have a house but you feel like you should, you don't have to do those things. If you want to be in an apartment or if you want to move across the country or across the world, do it. There are ways to do it.
There's ways to do everything depending on what you're willing to, like, give up for what you want, right? And it's, you know, it's all about what feels worth it to you, not about like what anyone else says. It's about, do you actually want to do this thing? And if not, then don't.
Follow your dreams. Right? Just watch where they're taking you.
Yeah, like, yeah, just take care of the people you care about.
Which should take include
yourself.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Shared a brain cell there for a moment. Okay, well, we've had a very eventful episode. Thank you for joining me. And this has been another episode of In the Margins. If you like our show, check us out at RadioLaurier.com or the Instagram page at In the Margins Podcast for more episodes. And if you want to find Mina, go to Twitch and type in Minnow with four N's. So M-I-N-N-N-N-O-W. And nice. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.